Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Did you realize that the Apostle Paul used the words, the Spirit of Holiness? Romans chapter 1, verse 4. I believe we need to capture and snapshot and peer into this phrase the Apostle Paul used. He said, and declared to be the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ, with power, according to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Notice, according to the Spirit of Holiness. So we should ask, what is the Spirit of Holiness? Notice in the same book, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, this is about the cross, the crucified life, walking in the mind of Christ and not in the carnal or the carnality of the flesh. Notice he says, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit, there it is again, that dwelleth in you. So he's saying here in part that the Holy Ghost who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise up and give life and victory to all who walk in the Spirit. And the only way to walk in the Spirit is to walk in the crucified life. Those two essential original gospel doctrines and truths cannot be separated. Verse 12, Romans 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Are you living after the flesh, my friend? Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, the whole Bible, and definitely the book of Romans, is written to believers, not unbelievers. And we're warned here that if we go back and begin to live in the sins Jesus came and died to nail to the cross, so that we could be blessed to born again and indwelt by His Spirit as His temples, and given His grace to overcome, we are not to live in those sins. Jesus didn't come to die, let me remind us here, to forgive all of these sins that now He allows us and gives us permission to go and live back in. That's what the eternal security teachers infer and blatantly teach, and they are false teachers. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, let me ask you, did Adam and Eve die? Yes, they died spiritually. They were separated. Death always means separation. And when they sinned, they died, and death was incurred into them, and they were vanquished from the presence of God. He will not coexist or dwell with those with sin in their lives. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That couldn't be more clear. Notice in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to be separated from God? Just one, because God is holy, holy, holy. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. So this idea that you can dabble with and dip your toe in the water of a little bit of sin and that be all right is absolutely a satanic deception to justify the flesh. If you're going to follow Christ, you must crucify the old man. See, either you're going to crucify the flesh, or the flesh and the sins of the flesh are going to crucify Christ right out of your life. Paul said, I keep under my body. It's an ongoing, perpetual necessity that we remain sentencing ourselves to death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said that he sentenced, or we are to sentence ourselves to death, so that our trust is in God who raises the dead. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. And again, the one I quoted a moment ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, tells us the Apostle Paul didn't believe he was once saved, always saved. If he did, why did he say this? But I keeps, it holds, it denotes a perpetuality. You must continue to keep under your body. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Luke 9:23-24. Now, why did he say that? Because Jesus is a cruel taskmaster and he just wanted to see you suffer? No, not at all. He's a loving, benevolent, beautiful, grace-filled God that's worthy of all our worship. And he knew, because he's holy, 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 that's not his attribute. That is absolutely his intrinsic nature. He said he's holy, holy, holy. That's the only thing he said of himself in triplicate, even once, much less he said it twice. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. Around the throne of God right now, the angels are crying that he is holy, holy, holy. In 1 Peter 1:15-16, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, why would God command us to do anything or be anything that he didn't give us the grace, the divine enablement to bring the power to do? He commands what he allows us to be able to do. And he gives us the grace, the divine influence on our heart, and the divine ability to do it. He dispenses it into us as we do things his way, and that his way is the cross. So Jesus commanded and mandated that if we're going to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Why? Because the crucified life that he speaks of there elsewhere at the center of the original gospel is the essential element for us to be raised up by the Holy Spirit of holiness. See, God only raises up those that are bowed down, Psalm 145:14, those that are crucified with Christ. We have to die the death and be buried. And the deeper the death and burial, the higher the resurrection power is going to be. And we can see that in doctrine, most importantly in the Word of God as we're looking at it today in this message, but also we can see it in our own lives. Anytime the flesh, my thoughts, carnality is creeping up on me, anybody else notice this? What do you notice? You got to take a step back spiritually and say, you know what? I need to declare Galatians 2:20 afresh. I need to put a harpoon. I need to spearhead the flesh, because something's going to be fed and something's going to be starved to death. We have to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. And the sword of the spirit is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. So I'll stop and I'll say, thank you, Lord, that I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Galatians 2:20, I will stand there prayerfully and declare, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, in Jesus' name. How about Galatians 6:14? God forbid that I should glory, that we should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. One more time. How about this in Galatians? In Galatians, we see that the cross replaced the law. I'll just leave that seed right there for you. But Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have, present and past, and crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We got to let this cross message sink down deep into our ears. I believe that's Luke 21:44. Let it sink down. Camp out on this cross message. You'll never be the same, and you begin to dance on sin's grave, because you're going to have the victory over it. And many of us, the Lord saved us, but it was years later that we were introduced to this cross message. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to find. It's been nearly completely lost in the church world. And we begin to say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I am crucified with Christ. And we begin to experience the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of holiness. Romans 1:4, that's our theme verse today. Raising up out of the grave, out of that death and burial posture. And we begin to say, wow, now this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being reenacted in my life. And we begin to see, our eyes begin to be opened to what the plan of the Lord was. It wasn't only for us to pray a prayer, be saved, and then be left to our own devices. No, this same gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is reenacted in our daily lives as we surrender. What is the cross? It's basically just surrendering afresh. That's why I said it has to be daily. It's not just a one-time thing. It begins at that point where you're saved. It begins where you water baptized, and that is an illustration of your life from that point on, that you're dead and buried, and Christ is raising you up out of that water, out of the sea of sin that we live around and that is in us and must be crucified. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead guarantees victory over all sin. And anybody who's taking up the cross daily, they're surrendering to Christ, declaring with John the Baptist, "You must increase, but I must decrease." Is experiencing victory over sin. Nobody living in sin is going to be taken into eternal glory. It doesn't matter how much you've been lied to. It's still not Bible. And if you'll get honest and truly repent and cry out to Jesus to give you a sincere, broken, and contrite, genuine heart, an authentic heart of honesty before Him, and you begin to study His Word afresh, you're going to see the gospel. And the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But it doesn't end there. The same Jesus who died on that cross, was buried and raised again from the dead, commanded that if you're going to follow Him, otherwise you're not following Him, you have to reenact. You have to die. You're not dying to atone for your sins. You're simply dead and buried with Christ. Romans chapter 6, Galatians 2:20. Read those words carefully. We are crucified with Christ. We aren't being crucified to atone for our sins or to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Only Jesus could have done that. But Jesus, the same one who did that on the cross for us, saying it is finished, commanded and mandated that if you're going to follow Him, you have to be crucified with Him. That's the only way you can be separated from the sins that defile you in His holy eyes, that cause you to be vanquished out of His presence, as were Adam and Eve, when Satan lied to them and told them they were eternally secure. They would not surely die if they sinned against God. Well, they found out the hard way, and we reap what they sowed. Death passed upon all men. Romans 3:5 and also chapter 7. And God gave the solution. God counteracts death with resurrection. When you die and you're buried, Christ is raising you up out of that posture. It is the most incredible thing to experience, being washed into blood and then beginning to see that Jesus had a plan to give you and I total and complete victory over sin. That's why Paul said that he had to keep under his body. He had to keep himself crucified. How many people know that you and I have both and have all walked in the flesh and in the spirit? Which one is the most fulfilling? Which one brings forth the fruit of heaven, the fruit of victory, the fruit of love, joy, peace, etc.? No fear. Because perfect love casts out fear. Well, it's obvious. Walking in the Spirit, being raised up by the Holy Spirit out of that dead and buried posture. We'll talk about being led by the Spirit. We're in that passage right now, Romans 8, and we're going to bounce back to our theme verse, which is Romans 1:4. Remember, Romans is the ABCs of the Christian faith as taught by many. It's very essential to your foundation in Christ. Let me encourage you to read the book of Romans. In fact, on safeguardyoursoul.com, we have a category on the desktop version. It's the Romans category. All you got to do is click on the drop-down menu on the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com, and you can just hit R, and you're going to be able to go to Romans. There's over 200 categories on SafeguardYourSoul.com, and we do that to help organize the site. And the sole purpose for the site, number one, is to edify and to feed the flock of God. This is merely a communication platform to help edify and help believers grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. So right here on the Romans category at safeguardyoursoul.com/Romans, we have so many good posts and podcasts that are sure to help you to be deepened in the foundation God is building in your life. Remember, saints, the scripture tells us that as we have received Christ, that we are to therefore go on to perfection, Hebrews 6. We are to be more and more rooted and grounded and settled in Christ, Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6 through 10, where we are said that we are complete in Christ, and the way that happens is to grow in grace, and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And there could be nothing or very few things, if any, more important than growing in the knowledge of the cross of Christ, where he died to save. Why did Jesus come? He came to save sinners, not only initially, but for your whole life. Jesus said you have to endure to the end to be saved. Now, do you think for a moment that a loving God, the Lord Jesus Christ, told you to do something and didn't give you the ability to do it? No, of course he gives you the grace, which means the divine influence of your heart and the divine power of God, the empowerment of God, the endowment of God in your life to bring that, to see that thing brought to pass. As you submit yourself to God, you're going to be able to resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you. And the way you're going to submit yourself to God is that you're going to submit yourself to your own death, burial, and resurrection. Now, you're going to do the dying by simply surrendering daily, and he's going to help you be buried and raised up from the dead. Notice here, we already read in verse 11, Romans 8. Perhaps Romans 8, 11 through 14 is our theme verse here. We're in the Word right now, my friends. We're soaking in, we're apprehending and crying out to God to teach us his ways. Listen, we're either going to be a Cain or we're going to be an Abel. Genesis 4. We're going to say like Cain, Lord, I know you commanded one thing, but I'm going to do it my way. That's the national anthem of everybody who's on the broad road to eternal hell. I'll do it my way, as famously sung by Frank Blue Eyes Sinatra, as he marched headlong into eternal damnation. If that's what happened, probably is, but we hope not. We hope he repented at the end, like the thief on the cross. Or you're going to be like Abel, Genesis 4. We need to get the framework of this snapshot. Abel said, Lord, he's a picture of Christ who came and said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He's a picture of the true believer who says, with hands and hearts raised, Lord, make me pure in heart and poor in spirit. I just want to do everything your way. Not my will, but yours be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. That's the faith of Abel, and it's even talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. He made the hall of faith, as we call it, because he did things God's way, not his own. When we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the blessings are going to be added unto us. Now, what we need to do today, precious friends, is humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to lift us up. There's the cross right there. It's all over the Bible. When we say, Lord, I've tried to do it my way. It has not worked. I'm even more miserable now than when I started trying way back. Now, I'm just going to clear the deck, raise my hands, heart to you today, and just say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Forgive me of my rebellion, God, of my obstinate and hardened heart. Please take away the stony places in my heart and grant me the blessing of a heart of flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. When we repent, saints, remember that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19. So we're in Romans 8, 11 through 14. We just read in verse 11 that the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. How many people know it was the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead? And he dwells in you, he says here. He that raised up Christ from the dead, he says it again, shall also quicken, that means make alive, raise up your mortal bodies. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us by his Spirit. He says it again, three times, that dwelleth in you. How many people want to rejoice with me today as a child of God that you've been bought by the blood? You are sealed and filled with the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead to empower empower you to glorify God. God didn't send his only begotten son so you could just come and become some part of some church on Sunday. No, man, he had much bigger plans than that. And it's a shame that so many years of our lives have been wasted in being some pawn to some pastor who's building his own kingdom. Now, I know, let me stop here and say, I know there are a few pastors, and regrettably, there's just a very small few that are truly helping those they oversee to be rooted and grounded in Christ. They aren't trying to possess those folks. They aren't manipulating and indoctrinating them folks into this idea that basically their identity in Christ is to become a member of their church. No, they don't have church membership because they honor the membership that was given to us exclusively by the blood of Jesus to make us members of the one universal body of Christ in the earth and in heaven today. Ephesians 2, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, amen, 1 Corinthians 12, all chapters on the body of Christ, and your identity is in Christ, and because it's in Christ, you're one with every and all the members of his body. That's your identity, not being a member of such a little church on Sunday morning. In fact, if you're really under a godly man, he wants to see you grow way more than he's ever grown and far surpass you. He's not trying to hold you down and corral you, Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, as false prophets do for his own self-serving, selfish agenda. No, man, he's prayerfully being the wind underneath your wings, praying like true elders do and laboring to feed you so that you grow in the grace of Christ and you are equipped for the ministry, the work of the ministry. So you're up and running. You're going where God sends you every day and perhaps on season and even a lifelong mission wherever, to another country or wherever on God's green earth to fulfill the will of God, to do the gospel, to live the crucified life, letting God work through you powerfully as Jesus commanded that we go and that we teach all men all the things that he's given and taught us, which is now encapsulated in the canon of scripture. And he promised, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And how is he going to be with us? By his spirit. Jesus told us while he was on earth, John 16, 7 and 8, that it's better for you that I go away, that I die, be buried, and raised again from the dead. Because when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And then came the day of Pentecost. Amen. The day of Pentecost. No Pentecost, no power. Have you stopped recently to ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit? Wow, watch the difference. You're going to hit a new gear upward, and it's going to be the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, but you shall receive power after, not before, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. If you're being spoken to by the Holy Spirit right now, I want you to go to the Holy Spirit category on safeguardyoursoul.com, and there's several podcasts and lots of biblical teaching there on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That does not save you. It's a gift for those that are already saved. But how many people know you feel a lot better when you're driving down the road in your car and you look down and you see that you got a full tank of gas instead of a half tank of gas, right? How many people know that a whole glass of cold, fresh spring water is better than a half glass? Do you want to be half full or all the way full? I don't think you can be a Christian and not want more of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to be filled with the Spirit, and that means presently and perpetually. That's Ephesians 5, verse 18, I believe it is. And we read through the book of Acts where the believers who were born again, many of them, on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see the power of God unleashed in them, through them, and to the world around them. Amen. What a blessing. That's the Holy Spirit category on safeguardyoursoul.com. And let me take a minute here to say thank you, God, for every one of you who are praying, who are supporting, and laboring in the Great Commission of Christ. We're Team Jesus, right? Paul said, we are laborers together with God. What a privilege. That's how we know we're part of the remnant of Jesus' elect. Jesus said his flock was small. Luke 12, 32. Who are his flock? Those that are obeying him. Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. There it is. You're taking him at his word, and you're prayerfully walking out his word, which is what? The Father's business, which is what? The Great Commission. It's real, real simple. You want to see who the heaven-bound remnant is? There are those who are like Abel, saying, Lord, I'm doing things your way and not my own. I'm going to be seeking your face, repenting as needed for my whole life on this earth, enduring to the end, being raised up out of the crucified death and burial posture every day by your Spirit, and doing your will. In Jesus' name, amen. And God's will is the stated Great Commission, to teach the word, to preach the word, to preach repentance, read the end of each of the Gospels. And he gave us his Spirit to raise us up, even as Jesus was raised from the dead. And we're going to be raised up, and we are being raised up into his victory, into fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, John 15, in doing his will, which is the Great Commission. You'll never have more joy in your life. And Jesus said, your joy no man taketh from you. Why did Jesus have more joy, the oil of gladness, above all of his fellows, above anybody who ever walked here? Because he was submitted to the Father. If we're submitted to the Father and Jesus, to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, we're crucified with him, and we're going to be raised up by his Spirit, which is going to come with the love, joy, and peace of God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of God working in you as you abide, you walk with him, John 15, in the crucified life, you're going to have great joy, and it's going to make a huge impact, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. So then he says in Romans 8:12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Listen, Jesus has saved us. We're no longer indebted to the flesh or obligated to do the things we used to do in the flesh, which is sin. Verse 13, notice this, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. Again, I want you to capture this. If you live in sin, you're going to die. If you're living in sin right now, it's because, well, the opportunity today is to just turn back to God in repentance, confess that sin, lay an axe to the root, begin now to cry out to God to be crucified with Christ. And he's going to help you with that. Notice, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But, I like that pivotal word. Capture that. But if ye through the Spirit, what? I like this. But in contrast to living after the flesh and being dead or separated from God, you can live after the Spirit, live in the Spirit. But if ye through the Holy Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we see that the Holy Spirit of God helps us as we choose to obey God to mortify the deeds of the body. You're not alone in this thing. It's about surrender, not about trying harder, but dying deeper. And the Holy Spirit is there to make that possible. If ye through the Spirit, I don't know about you, I am just rejoicing afresh that the Holy Ghost is what makes possible the victorious life Christ died to give us. Amen. I love 1 Corinthians 15:57, which is a resurrection chapter. He said this in the last two verses. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, being bountiful in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice, everybody who's laboring for the temporal, their God is gold. They're chasing the carrots of the trinkets of this life. Their labor is in vain. The only people whose labor is not in vain are those who, like Christ, labor to do the will of the Father and Christ. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And those that are Christ say, my meat, my whole goal and aim in life, my mission that I am on and executing by the power of the Spirit and the grace of God through Christ, being crucified with Christ and raised up, is to do the will of Jesus and the Father, which is the Father's business in Scripture, Luke 2:49, which is the Great Commission at the end of each of the Gospels and the book of Acts that Jesus commanded. And he's with us through the whole thing. And our labor is not in vain. He's stacking up treasure in heaven. I didn't make that up. Jesus commanded it. He said, do not lay up treasure on earth. Don't waste your life on earth. Pour everything I give you, every gift, every talent, all your resources, your prayers into heavenly things, and lay up your treasure in heaven. It will be forever. Matthew 6:19 through 24. So God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we are raised up and we're laboring and abounding in his work. And we know and can know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here we are in Romans 8. Oh, what a glorious chapter, right? And we're learning that the same Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus from the dead, who is also called the Spirit of Holiness in Romans 1:4, is raising us up as we're crucified with Christ, and we're proving and demonstrating to be the children of God because we're walking the way he commanded us to walk in the cross life, saying, if you're going to follow me, you must do it this way. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. You must be crucified with me, and I'm going to raise you up and give you power over all the ailments and all the sins of this life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Only those who are led by the Spirit of God, who are being raised up by the Holy Ghost as they're dead and buried with Christ, are the sons of God. Are you going to say that you're being led some other way than what the Bible teaches? The Bible is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, and the Holy Ghost coincides with and empowers. You're going to claim to be led by the Spirit and it's not biblical? That's delusionment, my friend. Let's come in for a landing here in this message titled The Spirit of Holiness. So we're seeing in Scripture that the Holy Ghost is raising us up into the victory Christ died to give us. In fact, he reigns at the right hand of the Father as our apostle and great high priest, and he ever lives. Jesus ever lives to provide what he died to purchase. That's essentially what we read in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he, Jesus, is able, at the right hand of the Father, at the throne of grace, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, what Jesus died to purchase, he ever lives to provide for us. He is with us even unto the end of the world. And this is how the cross life operates as we come in for a landing here. We're going to pray after this. And notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. I want you to make this a camping spot for yourself. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. Paul writes, always, always, perpetually, there it is again, bearing about, let's just get this fixed in our mind, beloved saints, until we're with Jesus, we got to endure to the end with the cross. And that's the blessing, because out of the cross, out of the death and burial, is going to come the resurrection victory, not only in this life every day, but in eternity. God's not going to raise up into eternal glory. First of all, on earth, he's not going to raise up out of the darkness and the mud, the mire, clay of sin. He's not going to raise us up out of it unless we're willing to die, to be obedient to him and die and be buried. Then he's going to raise us up, and we're going to experience his victory now. And because we're doing things his way, because we truly love him, we don't have our own self-styled religion like Cain doing our own thing and claiming we're Christians. No, we're surrendered. Yes, sir. Si, Señor Jesucristo. Mi Salvador. My Lord. My Master. Jesus said his enemies are those who do not allow him to reign over them in this life. That's why there's going to be so many that hear, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, because they did things their own way, not God's way. So it is through the cross life and the communion of the Holy Ghost, quote-unquote, 2 Corinthians 13:14, in the abiding relationship with our Lord that he's called us to, that the sin nature or the inherent bent towards sin is put under, it's crucified, so that the life of Jesus is manifested in our daily lives. And we have the fruit of the Spirit, and fruit is only born out of relationship, Galatians 5:22-23. So we're always bearing about in the dying of the Lord Jesus. That, why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you're wondering why the life, the victory, the resurrection, Spirit of Holiness, Romans 1:4, is not activated, is not operating, is not manifesting in your life, why? Because you're not bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You're not crucified with Christ. The good news is that you can be. You can turn back to God in repentance today with hands and hearts lifted up, honestly crying out to God to forgive your rebellion, your sin, your deceitfulness of heart, your absolute disobedience. your lawlessness. Name them for what they are. Sin, wickedness. That's when you're getting honest. You're not minimalizing what God says. You're taking him at his word and bring it to him, the sins you've committed. You're dying to self. You're dying to death beginning right there. And you're crying out to him to let that cross be central. Christ's cross and the one he called you to be crucified on, to take up daily, to be central in your life. For we which live, Paul continues, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And he's talking about external sufferings and persecutions that are very harsh that happens to us and that causes us to be delivered even more unto death. Suffering has huge benefits. That's not our main message, but we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice, you get perfected, you get established, you get strengthened, you get settled in Christ and in the crucified life and in all the persecutions. You're at peace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. And he says, for we which live, we're alive on the earth right now, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And here's why. That the life, there it is, the resurrection life of the Spirit of holiness, also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Wow. God says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure of Christ, the treasure of being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And through the cross life, the manifestation in the power of God in Christ are being magnified in us, or teeming, T-E-E-M-I-N-G, in us and through us. So then death worketh in us, he says, but life in you. Notice that when we're dead and buried with Christ, the life of Christ is working in us and through us to others. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. Brother John Umloff said this, oh, how the devil hates the message of the cross. He sure does, because with the cross message comes obedience to Christ and a resurrection life that completely topples the works of Satan and is victorious over him. Notice that the Bible speaks of true holiness. Have you ever struggled with sin? The divine prescription for true holiness, Ephesians 4 speaks of true holiness, is not about trying harder, but rather about dying harder or dying deeper. That is, experiencing by surrender that oneness in the crucified life with Christ and the Father. Heavenly Father, we pray together right now that you would give us ears to hear your engrafted word, that it would be engrafted into our hearts deeper than ever before, and that you would grant us repentance for our rebellion and wickedness and the deceitfulness of our sins, and cause us to be possessed by the spirit of holiness and a heart of flesh, so that we would walk in the cross life and be raised up by you into your victory, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.